This is Apollo Control, Houston, 85 hours, 21 minutes into the flight. A little more than 20 minutes since we've been in touch with Apollo 8. We should reacquire in about 18 minutes. To recap a bit, the crew was given a few hours extra rest, particularly Jim Lovell, on the 7th rev. Bill Anders presumably is also getting some nap time prior to the trans-earth burn a little later tonight. One or two things might be pointed up from today's revolutions around the Earth. We've noted the temperature excursions that have occurred. They weren't entirely unpredicted, but the variance interested people here on the consoles. Excursions over a 50-degree range. Another point that's proving interesting here with the passage of each rev is the fact that our apogee tends to grow ever so slightly and our perigee tends to shrink. This has not been the experience in Earth orbital flight. The apogee tends to shrink ever so slightly and the perigee usually remains stable, coming down somewhat, but the Earth orbital experience is explained by the ever so slight amount of drag exercised on spacecraft at perigee, which tends to pull down the apogee to slow the spacecraft somewhat at perigee, and the effect of it comes in at the high point of the orbit and tends to drop it down somewhat. Somewhat the opposite effect seems to be taking place in these revolutions around the moon. We have plots here on the first rev of 60.5 miles for apogee versus 60.9 perigee. And the next rev, 60.4 apogee versus 61.7 perigee. Then a 62 versus 60.1, a 62.3 apogee versus a 59.8. And the curve continues in that way. It's slight, but it's interesting, and it does not conform to the Earth orbital experience. And again, another reason for wanting to fly this navigational-operational Apollo 8 mission. At 85 hours, 24 minutes into the flight, this is Apollo Control, Houston. Control, Houston here. 85 hours, 39 minutes, and we're very, very nearly at the acquisition point. Only 10 seconds away. And we should, if we're on plan, move right into a television transmission. The time of 85 hours, 40 minutes has been passed to the crew. And the prime site for this picture will be the Goldstone Station from California. We're getting telemetry now via Honeysuckle Creek, the dish in Australia. And no word yet on Goldstone. Getting a carrier noise now, which is probably indicative of a transmission coming.
I can't say.
Still no calls. Although we're a minute and a half. We're a minute and a half into the acquisition. The capsule communicator has been advised to pass to the crew when we acquire that all of its systems look good. Minutes now since we did acquire the spacecraft. Rather noisy data, but data on the ninth revolution around the moon with an apogee of 63 miles and a perigee of 58.9 miles, velocity of 5,352 feet per second. We've got a picture here, and we've got a voice to go with it. Bill Anders.
How does the picture look, Houston?
Loud and clear.
The TV look okay?
That's very good.
Welcome from the moon, Houston.
Thank you.
We're theorizing here that bright spot in the top left center of your picture is the Earth. It's not very clear.
Big fastness of space. Now, what do you think?
I think the thing that impressed me the most were the lunar sunrises and sunsets. These in particular bring out the stark nature of the terrain, and the long shadows really bring out the relief that is here and hard to see in this very bright surface that we're going over right now. You describe, that's not color, Bill. Describe some of the physical features of what you're showing people.
Apollo 8, Houston, we're not receiving a picture now, are
we? We are now coming on to Smythe Sea, a small mare region covered with a dark, level material. There is a fresh, bright impact crater on the edge towards us, and a mountain range on the other side. These mountains are the Pyrenees.
Apollo 8, we are not receiving modulation on the signal. We have to have sync.
Are you reading us, Apollo Houston?
Apollo 8, we're reading you loud and clear, but no picture. We have no modulation.
Roger, we understand. Take a look now.
How about now, Apollo?
Loud and clear.
What you're saying as we cross by sea are the craters Castor and Gilbert. And what we've noticed especially that you cannot see from the Earth are the small, bright impact craters that dominate the lunar surface.
The moon, is quite light, and the contrast between the sky and the moon is a vivid dark line. Coming into view of the camera now are some interesting old double ring craters, some interesting features that are quite common in the Mare region and have been filled by some material, same consistency of the Mare and same color. Here are three or four of these interesting features. Further on the horizon, you see the the mountains coming up now are heavily impacted with numerous craters whose central peaks you can see in many of the larger ones.
Actually, I think the best way to describe this area is a vastness of black and white. Absolutely no color.
The sky up here is also a rather forbidding, promoting expanse of blackness with no stars visible when we're flying over the Earth, over the moon in daylight. Bombarded through the eons with numerous small asteroids and meteoroids pockmarking the surface every square inch.
And one of the amazing features of the surface is the roundness of most of the craters. It seems that most of them have a round mound type appearance instead of sharp jagged rocks.
Only the very newest features have any sharp definition to them, and eventually they get eroded down by the constant bombardment of small and meteorites. How's the picture now, Houston?
loud and clear, and the picture looks real fine.
Thank you. Can you see the two large craters just to the right of our track, Houston? Very bright features you see are the new impact craters, and the longer a crater has been on the surface of the moon, while the more mottled and subdued it becomes. Some of the
we've apparently lost your voice. The picture is still good.
Roger. Houston, we're passing over an area that's just to the east of Spice C now, in checking our charts. Spice C is coming up in a few minutes.
If you go to Puna, accept, while we'll uplink some information.
We are now coming up towards the terminator, and I hope that soon we'll be able to show you the varying contrast of light as we go into the darkness. Houston, we're in Pooh, and you have the computer.
Thank you.
Approaching a series of small impact craters. There is a dark area between us and them, which could possibly be a old lava flow.
Large mountains on the horizon now, ahead of the spacecraft to the north of our track.
We estimate it's about 325 miles to the horizon, just to help your reference.
The intensity of the sun's reflection in this area makes it difficult for us to distinguish the features we see on the surface, and I suppose even harder on the television. But as we approach the terminator and the shadows become longer, you'll see a marked change. There's a very and the filling material of this valley in front of us now is rather unusual in that it's sharply defined, yet it's dark all over its interior walls, whereas most new-looking craters are very bright interior. We believe the crater, the large dark crater between the spacecraft and the Sea of Crises, is Condorcet Crater. Sea of Crises is amazingly smooth as far as the horizon past this rather rough mountainous region in front of the spacecraft.
We're through the computer. If you go back to block, and it looks like we're getting a lot of reflection off your window now.
Regular switch windows. How's that look now, Ken?
That's real fine. Apollo 8, can you tell us which window you're looking out? And there's a large crater, it looks like it's sticking up in the upper right-hand corner of our picture. Do you identify that one?
Roger, we're just about to lose the lock here. That's why we're slowing up a little bit. We see the Sea of Crises in front of us now, and we're looking out the left-hand rendezvous window. Moon's sunrise. or the spacecraft Sunset. This is an area that the sun has just recently come up on the moon.
And God saw the light, that it was good.
and God divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day.
And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you. All of you on the good earth.